Welcome, friends, to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. It's a very special Tuesday edition. It's a reunion edition with myself and Dalton Del Don. The powers that be have tried to keep us apart, but the people demanded a reunion, so we are together again. I'm glad you're here, buddy.
What's up, Andy, my old hoops pod partner? Nice to be here. You hit me up last week. You said, we're doing a League of Leagues three-sport crazy draft this weekend. Let's talk it on the pod. And then, just fortuitously, my Warriors beat your Bulls last night. And my 49ers.
And you broke Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. And my 49ers make a blockbuster trade. And I'm like deep in baseball draft season, but I can't keep refreshing and just going over the news. Who are we going to draft? It's crazy. So it's actually pretty timely, man. Nice to talk to you, Andy.
Yeah, you summed it up well. I was going to do this exclusively about our respective football teams in League of Leagues. And then your Niners, like, just blew open the NFL Newsweek, right? They were the story. Made a huge deal. You alluded to it. We got this crazy draft pick swap that ultimately involved three separate teams, the Niners, the Dolphins, the Eagles. Easily the most impactful story of the week, I would say, in the NFL. So here's the fallout, and then you can just go wherever you want to go with it, because the Niners are your team, and you are as close to this as any fantasy analyst that I can think of. So San Francisco trades up to the number three overall pick. They give up this year's number 12 and their first rounders in 2022 and 2023. I'll just say, if you're going to do that, like, you're doing it with a very specific player in mind. Like, I don't buy any of this noise about how, oh, there's a few guys we like and we're still evaluating and all that. You do that because you've got a guy in mind. They also give up their third round pick in 2022. So, wow, it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of draft capital to give up. Presumably, you only give that up, obviously, for a quarterback. Miami quickly traded back up out of the 12 to the number six overall. They give San Francisco's pick and a first in 2022. Not that they care about giving up first. That's like pocket change to them. They got a zillion first round picks. Philly moves down to number 12. They pick up an extra first rounder in the deal and a fourth rounder this year. And I think that is everything draft pick wise involving these three teams. So, Dalton, we can just start with your Niners. They have a totally ready to win roster. They've had a very nice offseason. They have obviously still an elite defense. They have great skill players. Everything is in place. Some questions at quarterback. The division is loaded. So it is difficult to ask a rookie quarterback, I would think, to learn on the job. But you also don't trade all that draft capital to pick anything other than a quarterback at number three. And generally speaking, when a quarterback is taken that high, they play. So my questions to you, who do you want the team to pick? Who are you expecting them to pick? And what does this all mean for Jimmy G?
It's such an interesting situation because the team's in win now mode, but they just lost a season due to injuries. And it's such a short window in the NFL. But at the same time, they have a quarterback, Jimmy G, whom I love, his teammates love, but he's appeared in fewer than half the games available. It's just an injury thing as much as it also is, you know, how good is he? We all remember him missing the throw to Emmanuel Sanders in the Super Bowl, but the availability is a major question mark.
He doesn't have like one single injury that we're really worried about long term, no. Right? It's not like he's got, wow, his shoulder is bad and I don't know if it'll ever be okay. It doesn't have like the Peyton Manning injury where it was like, wow, he's having neck fusion, you know, like this. Yeah. It's not stuff like that. He's healthy now, presumably. Yeah.
I guess that probably makes it better, but I could also argue that he didn't even last the four-game Tom Brady suspension in New England, and even old New England teammates came out this week and barked and said that they called him Mr. Glass, and he was unreliable. And it was the torn MCL for the Niners, then it was the sprained ankle, it's been other things. So yeah, I hear you, but he's also not mobile. In today's NFL, your ceiling is capped if you don't have a quarterback who's mobile. So please tell me this means that Justin Fields is the pick here. I mean, all this talk about Mac Jones, comparing him to Kirk Cousins, and Chris Sims is a friend of Shanahan, and he came out and said Mac Jones. So the media is running with it, but Shanahan later says Sims can't keep his mouth shut. I haven't told him anything in 2 years.
I read
they're
that,
keeping
yeah.
it. Keeping it close to the vest, who's going to go? And I know it's going to be a whole month of speculation. It sounds like Wilson's for sure going too. And you have to remember Robert Saleh is the head coach of the Jets now. So there has to be some sort of communication there that you'd think the Niners know who's going,
right?
Or at least have an idea of who's going number two there. And yeah, I want Fields. One caveat, I don't watch a ton of college football, and I was very upset at the Warriors if they didn't take James Wiseman, and LaMelo Ball might have been the right pick. So with those two caveats, I might look into getting rid of my season tickets if they take Mac Jones over Justin Fields with this draft capital they gave up. You have to have a dual threat. Tim Kawakami, one of the best local beat writers, laid out a plan a whole month ago saying, let's do the Alex Smith, the plan in Kansas City with Pat Mahomes. Draft Fields,
yeah.
Let him sit a year. And Jimmy G, $25 million for 1 year sounds like a lot, but it's doable in today's day for 1 year for a quarterback. But I don't know if that's just posturing, and the truth is, of course, Garoppolo's gone, and you don't trade up to number three, and it would be too weird in the locker room. Normally, I'm not like, I don't care about a locker room thing, but these teammates love Garoppolo. Like, Kittle's devastated. Like,
yeah.
There's an issue here. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm not entirely sure Shanahan knows how it's going to play out with Jimmy G right now. Do you have any thoughts?
So the name that you haven't mentioned is Trey Lance. You don't think Trey Lance is part of the discussion? You think it's Fields or Mac Jones, one of those two?
I'm sorry, I had a hard time jumping around everywhere, man. Originally, I'm totally in, all on board getting a franchise quarterback. It's the most important position in sports by far. It's awesome. I'll get a jersey. You're set for a decade. It's all that matters is getting a franchise quarterback in the NFL. I was trade two first and maybe even Nick Bosa for Deshaun Watson. Obviously, that's no longer an option. I think possibly Trey Lance. I don't follow enough college. From everything I read, I played just one game last year. The competition didn't look great. But yes, he's more of a project. If that's a quarterback that Shanahan deems is my guy, the dual threat, okay, fine. Lance, it makes more sense even for Jimmy G to play next year. I've just personally been sold on Fields. I thought he was even debatable with Lawrence entering the season. I know there's some questions about his ability to progress, you know, the second reads. But man, the upside, the accuracy, the long ball stats, all the nerd accuracy stats in college. I'm just personally in on Fields, but I'm definitely open to hear something counter. You watch more college football than me. That is certain.
Well, one thing I'll say is that you can, and in particular, I've seen a ton of Justin Fields. I watch a lot of Big Ten everything, right? So I've seen more Justin Fields than I've seen of anybody else here. Obviously, you can't avoid Mac Jones. So I've seen Mac Jones. Very different players, clearly, and Justin Fields is much more of the type that we really like in fantasy, and that I think the NFL is obviously embracing, right? Not just mobile, but a serious running threat, like a gifted runner. And obviously, it's such an arms race in your division. Like, the team that comes in like fourth in the NFC West is still going to be a really good team, right? Like, and Justin Fields just fits the mold of all of the most exciting quarterbacks in the game right now. I'm super impressed by him. And another thing that I put a lot of weight on is, what did you do when you were facing, if you had the opportunity to face defenses that are loaded with pros, what did you do? And he was phenomenal, right? He was like, he shredded Clemson. The playoff semifinal was as good as it gets. That was as good a performance as any college quarterback had this year.
Took a huge hit early in that game too. Massive guy was ejected for the targeting. Look, brutal hit, and then went off for 6 touchdown passes. Yes, against Clemson.
Yeah. Right. I'm sold after that, right? And he'd had a ton of other great games against really high quality Big Ten opponents prior to that. So I'm pretty sold on Fields. I guess I would push back again. You know, who am I to judge this really? And obviously I should defer to NFL scouts. I guess I'd push back a little bit on his processing ability and his, you know, work through the progression ability and his second read ability. Like, number one, the receivers at Ohio State just win so often that, yeah, I don't know how often you really have to worry about the second read there. But I think he did it. Like, I think there's a bunch of ordinary plays on his film where you can see him go to non-primary options and they get big plays out of it. So I don't know. Some of that is also Ohio State is so much more talented than every team they play at virtually every position, and it becomes hard to gauge. It's like watching Big 12 quarterbacks to a certain extent. But Fields would be my guy. I would be really excited for that. And I think, honestly, I think Fields can play this year is the other thing. Like, I get that you can't give away games in the Niners division. So maybe that's part of it. And you've got to begin the season with Jimmy G. And maybe they're almost planning for a Jimmy G injury at some point, and then Fields takes over. But I think Fields is pretty ready to go because he's I don't even know what's working against him. Maybe it's Dwayne Haskins related doubts working against him because Haskins was such a face plant out of the same program. But they're very different players. I mean, I think Fields is ready to go. I think he's ready to play, and I think he could come into a system and win right away.
The extra playoff spot helps the Niners. You're right. It's just a loaded division, and they're set up with quarterbacks there with Murray and, well, theoretically, Wilson. And you add Stafford to the Rams' defense. They're my pick to win the Super Bowl, the Rams. So it's definitely a tough division. So a lot of places to go with this. So Mac Jones, what are your thoughts? I mean, a real accurate passer. You look at the schedule. It was tough. He was doing against tough competition. I believe Waddle was only there for like five games, but yeah. Obviously great teammates. Usually a clean pocket. And we just saw what Tua did, you know, in the NFL. Obviously, that's the big scare. Shanahan, you know, I'd link him because he's kind of like a Cousins 2.0. It's funny, though, during that same press conference, Shanahan's like, I do love Cousins, but I'd also like him if he were 4 inches taller and ran faster. You know, yeah. He's like, that would be my prototype. So it's all going to be interesting in so many rumors, and I can't wait. The draft's a month away and centered on my team, and it's exciting. And I feel bad for Jimmy G. I nearly wore the shirt today with him in his underwear that George Kittle made famous. And it's a sad day too. I'm going to pour one out for my guy, Jimmy G here, but man, it's exciting. So yeah, we haven't come up with an answer here. I'm all in on Fields. What's your answer?
Yeah, no, Fields is my number two, but it seems like a foregone conclusion that Wilson is going to go number two. That seems done.
Okay. Yes. That was also, I was going to say.
So fine. Like Wilson really good as well. Doesn't necessarily have the deep track record of Justin Fields, but whatever. Fields is my number two. One of the interesting things that I think I've read from Shanahan is that they've said that they are really comfortable with three guys at the top of the draft, and presumably two of those guys are Wilson and Lawrence, and they've sort of left it open as to who the third guy is. They traded up to the third pick, obviously, right. So they should be feeling pretty good. It seems like maybe they're still open to having one of the other quarterbacks convince them. I would just personally be surprised if it's not Fields.
Well, unfortunately, I agree with you here, sadly. So maybe I have to reevaluate my Fields thought, but I'm with you as far as even slightly maybe over Wilson from what I've read. I mean, just the lack of track record. Everyone's going ballistic over that pro day throw. I'm not going to say he's going to be Jamarcus Russell, but I don't know. Is it maybe a little tiny bit more bust potential with Wilson than Fields?
I just can't believe that like NFL teams here, like we're all buzzing about, you know, a great throw in a pro day in which there was literally only receiver and a quarterback on the field and nobody else. Right. Like, but I can't imagine that NFL team. Like, they just want to see you complete everything. I can't imagine that NFL teams walk away from a pro day throwing performance, radically reevaluating their position on a player. I just really doubt it.
I'm glad the Niners made the move and they're aggressive, though. You know, theoretically, they gave up two late round. You know, that's the idea. You know, they're a good team. We give up late in the picks in the 20s. The first rounders are gold, though, in the NFL. I mean, it's definitely a risk. But you know what else is gold is getting a quarterback and a rookie contract. I mean, and then just load up on defense. So we'll see. It's exciting. It's funny because I was talking myself into Mac Jones at pick 12. I was like, oh, system there. Like totally a guy that could be, you know, learn under a year with Jimmy G. But moving up to number three now, I couldn't be more like against Mac Jones. It's pretty funny. But I'm all in on Justin Fields.
One thing
here
I think is crazy is we've got two teams that are sitting at I think it's 8 and 9 in Carolina and Denver that both need quarterbacks that are probably totally going to be shut out on these quarterbacks, right? Like there was a time in the draft process where people were talking about Mac Jones at 20 to the Bears, right?
Yeah.
And he's clearly
28.
Not,
yeah, he was. Yeah.
Like, he's not going to make it to 8.
Yeah, the first Pro Football Focus one had him going like 28th or something. Late first, the first mock I saw. Maybe even NFL.com had him late first, too. But yes, he's not. It might go 5 straight quarterbacks, then like 3 straight receivers. Obviously, Kyle Pitts is there. Those 3 running backs, they may not go high in the draft, but they look like legit difference makers right away. So this is like the most exciting fantasy football skill position type NFL draft in recent memory. And you're right. Good point about Carolina. They were like adamant. We're going all in on upgrading the quarterback position. It looked like they were going to have their choice. And now it looks like they don't have any choice as far as the rookies. So it's going to be.
So since you mentioned Carolina, is there any chance that the Niners, I mean, there's got to be some chance that the Niners still move Jimmy G, right?
Yes. 50-50. I'd say 50-50 right now. Yeah, absolutely. I believe him when he says it. If a trade offer comes, New England was a lot of rumors there, but obviously brought back Cam. And he's expensive. So it just depends. But yeah, absolutely. If Carolina gives him any sort of offer, they would have to deal Jimmy G at this point.
Yeah. If they can get one of those first back from either Carolina or Denver, and that
oh yeah,
that seems sensible from the perspective of Carolina or Denver. And if it's anybody but Trey Lance, I think they're looking at a quarterback who can play right away. So I'd be pretty interested in that. And maybe that's just me holding out hope as somebody who's got a bunch of DJ Moore shares in the dynasty portfolio. And I just want to see Carolina get a quarterback upgrade. I've been trying every which way.
Oh yeah. And with Samuel gone, I mean, Anderson and DJ Moore, I've been bumping up my rankings, just assuming they'll have competent quarterback play, but absolutely. The other ramifications here. So a vote of confidence for Tua, and then my guy, Jalen Hurts, man, I have him number 6 on my fantasy QB board right now. What do you think?
Okay. So this is what I was going to move on to. I am really interested in, let's just hypothetical here. Let's say Miami, again, they move up to 6. Let's say they take Ja'Marr Chase, right? So let's say Tua goes into next season. All of a sudden, that receiving core is Will Fuller. It's Ja'Marr Chase. It's Devontae Parker. Like, Preston Williams is like your number 4. Mike Gesicki at tight end, a guy who really flashed at the end of last season. Like, that's pretty good, right? I mean, we don't have to have been really impressed with Tua last season, but it's going to be hard for me not to have him at like 14, 15, 16, if those are his weapons.
Interesting who emerges at running back. If Myles Gaskin's still the guy there, that would be an interesting spot with those other weapons and that defense. The quarterback is so loaded though, Andy. I mean, that's the problem. Tua, it just did not flash at all. And he's still buried in the mid-20s for me, but I hear you. But it's just like, I would just count it at quarterback. Is so loaded. Fitzpatrick on Washington with those receivers. And I mean, Daniel Jones, the upgrade. And if you're not running, it's in quarterback. I think fantasy football, from what I could gather in his little early best balls, quarterback is not going to be treated the same, because if you don't get one of these top guys that run, you're going to be, even in one QB leagues, and they're putting up that top tier of runs is separating itself. So even in one QB leagues, I think you're going to see the ADPs shoot far higher than you've been used to.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. If you're not a dual threat quarterback, you basically have to have the season that Aaron Rodgers did or that Tom Brady did in order to crack the top 10, top 12. If you're not literally throwing 40 touchdown passes and having a historic season, you've got no shot of cracking the top of the ranks. I think you're right on Jalen Hurts. I'm probably not going to have him at 6. But I mean, that's not a radical rank. I'm probably going to have him at 8 or 9. I mean, he's already demonstrated the ability in any given game to rush for 80 to 100 yards, right? And if your rushing floor is like 50 yards, which it probably is for Hurts, you don't have to be much of a passer, right? Like, he can learn on the job. We assume that Philadelphia at 12, one of those great receivers is going to be there. It's probably not going to be Chase, but it could be Smith. It could be Waddle. Like, that. They're going to get another chance to upgrade the receiving core. They've drafted it terribly over the years. They haven't necessarily done well in terms of building a receiving core. So I don't know that we trust them, but there's like 3 or 4 can't miss guys up at the top of the ranks.
Yeah, Rager over Jefferson was tough. I'm all in on Hurts. I just love what I saw and the rushing ability. I'm seriously close to ranking him over Kyler Murray, but I know that's crazy. Ooh. Do you know what Kyler Murray's YPA was over the second half last season? I know he was hurt, but maybe that's the answer. But guess what Kyler Murray's YPA was over the second half of the season?
Oh,
8 games.
Oh no, is it gonna be really terrible? I know it was a lot of short stuff to Hopkins. Gosh, was it less than 7?
It was 6.6.
Woof. Woof.
Yeah, that is really, really eye-opening. So, of course, he runs like crazy, and he suffered that injury, so it might just be that. But I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Jalen Hurts finishes with more fantasy points than Kyler Murray. I'll just put that out there.
Oh, yeah, I'm fully on board with that. And obviously, the trade down to 12 means that they're totally out on quarterbacks. They're not drafting a developmental quarterback here. You're just simply not getting one at 12. If you guys need or want more draft talk, and of course you do, Liz Loza's Rookie Snapshot Series is going to launch on Thursday, and you will want to listen to that. I believe she's kicking it off with the running backs. Before we hit League of Leagues, which I can't wait to get into because we've already name-dropped some of the players that I want to talk about there, I do want to mention, we sure seem to be headed for a 17-game schedule next year. I don't think that's avoidable at this point. I think it's happening. Just so you guys know, I will not receive an extra game check. Dalton will not receive an extra game check. There's no additional money in it for fantasy experts. I can tell you that. We're pretty sure that this game is going to be added at the end of the season. It would probably be an early January game. I have no idea. Just throwing this out there right at the start. I have no idea how this will alter the fantasy season officially. But I mean, we would presumably have an extra week to advertise to you. So like, come on, we're probably going to be playing fantasy for an extra week next year. We've had a 16 game schedule since 1978. Like, this is the longest period of time that the NFL has gone without altering the schedule. Now we're getting an extra week. Off the top of my head, we're going to see a bunch of records fall. Like, we got an extra game. We're probably going to see a 2000 yard receiving season at some point real soon. I guess as a fantasy manager, I would be a little bit concerned that certain teams are going to try to find a way to give an additional week of rest to players, and we're not going to know about it in advance, right? Like, that's a small worry for me. I don't know. Any concerns about unintended consequences there for you?
Yeah, I haven't let this sink in too much yet. You brought up the stats thing. I've never been a stats guy. I don't really super care about that. But records will definitely just be different now moving forward. It's also weird that teams will have odd number of home games every other year.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to complain about more football personally. I mean, I love it. It's the funnest sport to watch. So I will definitely I'll be okay with that. But there will absolutely be an issue possibly with resting. Like, I think Alvin Kamara has even come out and complained about it and said that. And there might be an issue with some unforeseen rests for sure. But otherwise, I think you just make your fantasy playoffs just ahead, you know, instead of 14 through 16, you just make it 15 through 17 weeks, right? I think is what you would do. But as long as they don't mess with the buys in fantasy playoffs, that's what would kind of be a problem. But yeah, I think it'll mostly be the same and just more football. Good.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like we're getting an extra bye week here either. Still one bye, as I understand it.
And that's another issue as far as like the players' health and stuff. I shouldn't just be flipping about that. Like, I haven't done the studies. Like, maybe another bye is the other answer too. And then that's just more football also. So maybe that's ultimately the answer.
And clearly, taking away a preseason game is that's no favor to anybody who's an NFL starter, right? They weren't playing in that other preseason game anyway. So you're not doing them any favors at all. So that's all I got in the 17 game schedule. Just wanted to throw it out there because that's also been in the news. And now with that, we got to talk League of Leagues. This has become, if not my favorite draft, it's certainly my quirkiest draft. We basically, a bunch of us do it in a Google Doc over like 2 days. It took the entire weekend. It took an entire weekend to draft this thing. It is a three sport, 51 round monster of a draft. Again, took the entire weekend. It was glorious. But we drafted like fantasy football rosters this weekend that we're actually going to play out, that are going to count. So, hey, let's talk about it. One fun thing here is that you and I, you're playing in tandem with Liz. I'm a solo operator. I don't have co-managers. I don't need to lean on somebody else in my fantasy life, Dalton. I don't need a crutch like Chris Liss. I went solo here, but we employed roughly the same strategy in this thing. So let's just talk about it a little bit. What are the other details that I missed in describing this league? You're an original member, I believe, and I just got added to this thing a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. We used to do it live in Las Vegas in person, and that was just so much fun. By the way, Chris Liss is just a co-manager in name or in finances. I do 100% of the picks, and he never showed up in person either. So that's 100% just me, this team. But, it's so much fun. A three-sport beast. It's been around, I should have thought how many years now, but it's been a long time, whatever, eight, I don't know, maybe 10, I don't know. But a lot of fun, and we did. I picked in between Adam Rank and old Yahoo scribe James Coe and Cousin Sal. Mike the Miz, the wrestler, won this last the whole iteration of the three sport, which is just an abomination because his picks are usually off the wall. Just, it's something we cannot let happen again. But go ahead. We actually implemented similar strategies. We didn't realize we were both doing it until midway through. But you want to be me. You copied me. It's the same exact strategy I did last year. But it sounds like your reaction, in defense for you, it sounds like your reaction is you were unaware that I did this last year, but tell them what we did.
I won the football portion of this last year, in my first year in the league, right? I won the football league with a relatively dominant team. I think it lost once all year. I really, part of that was that I crushed the supplemental draft, right? We had a rookie draft, and I got, even though I was picking near the end, I think I got Justin Jefferson and Antonio Gibson out of that, so I was able to keep them this year. But I was just flabbergasted. I was honestly shaken that I went into this thing with the same plan as you and Liz, because that's not usually, like, maybe you're going down a bad path if you're following the same route that Chris Liss is following. But it does it's good to know that Liss is not really a decision maker on that team. I feel a little bit better about
that. So here's the deal. I used to do all basketball early like all these other lemmings are doing. Like the 10 of the first 14 picks are all basketball. And I get it. They're the most reliable. They also contribute more than baseball players do because it's smaller rosters. I get it. But also it's the third sport out. So it's a lot changes between now. You can also make trades if you want to compete there. And also it's easier to zig when everyone's zagging. So you just pick up the stars in the other sports, which I did here. Normally I go football early, but I have Cam Akers as a keeper and Juan Soto in an on-base league. Do you know that Juan, so I won't make you guess like I did Kyler Murray's, but do you know that Juan Soto's on-base percentage last season was 490? 490 is on base.
That one I can quote because one of the rarest things in baseball history is a 500 on base percentage. Granted, it was a mini season, but like a 500 on base percentage is way rarer than a 400 average, right? Like at least it was until Barry Bonds came on the scene and did it like, I don't know, six straight years or something like that. But it's super rare. Yeah. I mean, it's phenomenal. I opened this thing with a double Christian opening, which
I like
doesn't happen too often. I started with McCaffrey. I followed with Christian Yelich for the same reasons that you laid out. I understand why everybody takes NBA players at the top, but there were six teams that went double NBA players in the first two rounds. And so like with everybody following that strategy, there's just not that much of an edge that I could get if I had the second overall pick. And if I take Harden there, or I take Doncic there, I'm not going to get that much of an edge because I'm still going to have to take like everybody else in the league. I'm going to have to take like Jimmy Butler or something like that in the second round. And it just wouldn't feel right. I thought I would, but basically I set myself up for this. We get six keepers in the league and four of mine were NFL players. They were Keenan Allen, Justin Jefferson, Antonio Gibson. And I traded I just traded James Harden for Josh Allen at the trade deadline, right? So I got a pretty good price on Josh Allen. So I'm carrying all four of those guys into the league, and I end up drafting a team that just could not be drafted or purchased in any other fantasy format, right? It's pretty ridiculous. I feel like you and I, and this is no surprise since we went into this thing with similar strategies, I feel like you and I have the two best football rosters in this thing, and we both managed to draft teams that you just couldn't assemble anywhere else. So mine is Josh Allen, Christian McCaffrey, Antonio Gibson, Davante Adams, Keenan Allen, Justin Jefferson, Mike Gesicki. My one weak spot is the guy who finished as the overall tight end six last year. James Robinson in a flex, and the Washington football team is my defense. Your roster, nearly as good. A solid silver medalist here, I would say, is Dak Prescott, Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott, Terry McLaurin, I believe a keeper of yours, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Ayuk, Tyler Higbee, and Cam Akers, which is just a ridiculous flex option. And you have the Ravens defense. So there's two big things that I want to ask you about with regard to your roster. And one of them is you have three Rams, like in a situation where like your typical starting lineup is going to be Higbee, Kupp, and Cam Akers in the starting roster. It is difficult. Unless you think the Rams are going to, maybe you do, maybe you think the Rams are going to be a team that averages 30 to 35 points a week. Perhaps they are. They've been close to that before, right? And if you think they're getting back to that level, then that's fine. So is that kind of where you're at on the Rams? You think it's just going to be a points and yards party every week?
Couple of things. Just to give reference, my second and third round picks were Saquon Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott. And right after those picks were Chris Middleton and Sabonis in basketball. So
yes, right.
I love our strategy, but really quickly, I want to say this, though. Last year, like I said, I did this strategy, the same one, and you didn't. And I came with I won't bore you with my roster, but I entered the year with like five players on my team that were top 30 picks in ADP, and I didn't even make the playoffs. So football, it's tough. You know, like, I mean, you have Kenyon Drake, Miles Sanders, Mark Andrews, Saquon Barkley, all those guys, you know, McLaurin, disappointed on a team that entered heavily favored. I didn't even make the playoffs. So it must be pointed out there that football, tricky things happen. They go really haywire fast. But this is not going to happen this year because look at this squad. I've had the far better gift of foresight this time. And I think the Rams are going to put up the 30 points a game. And like I said, they're my pick to win the Super Bowl. I don't love that they have such a dominant defense, I guess, but I think Akers is going to be an easy top 10 pick come August. I bumped Kupp and Robert Woods up. It's a concentrated tree there typically, and I think Jared Goff is just bad, and Stafford is a massive upgrade with a really innovative mind, and he doesn't run either, so all the stats are going to be Akers are throwing the ball there. So love Sean McVay. Tyler Higbee, his final month of the season 2 years ago, was silly, and now Gerald Everett's gone, so he's the number 8 tight end on my board, and I got him in like round 40 in this, so that was insane. So yeah, I'm in on the Rams. I loved Kupp, love Higbee, and I will draft Akers. I think on my board right now he's like the number 8th player on my board or something overall. Yeah, number 10. I'm looking now. He's 10. He's number 10. So Akers will be a first round pick. So I have Akers, Elliott, and Barkley. I mean, that's three guys in my top 10 on this team in a 14 team football league.
To your point about the risk involved in the NFL that isn't, you know, that is present to a far less extent in baseball and basketball. I did feel obligated to actually draft a bench that was totally playable too. Like I drafted Tyler Lockett and he's not even going to play for me. It seems like I'm kind of wasting resources there, but once you're all in on football, you can't just be all in with the starting roster because it's too risky. Right. So like I've now got Tyler Lockett as my number 4 receiver. I've got Gus Edwards as a bench running back who would probably be starting for a bunch of teams, 'cause he's still going to have a big role, 'cause they freaking love Gus Edwards in Baltimore. I want to ask you though about both of your running backs. That was the other piece that I wanted to get from you, because you've said, and I think that I'm going to have Zeke Elliott still top 10. I'm still a believer in Zeke, obviously, and I'm a big believer in the Cowboys offense when Dak is back at the controls. But it didn't finish perfectly for Zeke last year, right? Like the second half of the season in particular, not great, not particularly explosive. The line wasn't the same. Tony Pollard came on. There were a lot of reasons to be not overly worried coming into this year, but he's not going to be a particularly buzzy player. Maybe that'll make him a great value play. He probably still is a top 10 running back. I want to get your thoughts on Zeke Elliott coming into the year though. And then secondarily, I feel like you probably had to get Saquon because you have Liss as a co-owner and he just wanted that Giants investment. But Saquon is going to be like 10 and a half months removed from ACL surgery in week one, something like that. It's not quite 11 months. So what is your level of concern with Saquon? And then what are your thoughts on Zeke coming into the year?
What? I felt like kind of a donkey because I was debating Zeke and Barkley with my round 2 pick, and Zeke fell all the way back to me, whatever, 10 picks late. I guess it's 2 sports. So, I mean, 3 sports makes it different. But I didn't love either. I really wanted Derrick Henry, who went 1 pick before Barkley, as you mentioned, coming off the injury, back-to-back disappointing years. How good's that offensive line? Yes, they have nice wide receivers, but how good is Daniel Jones? I mean, not everyone's Adrian Peterson who can return from a torn MCL like that. I move on, onto the next big thing, the younger player. But Zeke, a couple things. He's 25 years old still. He's not, 30. When Pollard was giving him heat down the stretch, he had a good game, Elliott. He's like, oh, no, not this talk. And he did turn it on. Yeah. I think maybe, I don't know, pride gets to him and he comes into a little better shape this year. And that offense is just awesome, man. And he's paid heavily. He's going to get the – I know that Pollard exists there. It's not – I get those question marks. They're very valid. But Dallas, I think, is going to – these are the points they're putting up before Dak went down. I got Dak on this team, too. I wanted CeeDee Lamb. But I think they're just going to name the points on the offensive end, and Elliott's going to benefit big time. So I think he's a player he wants – was, and he's not a top 5 real life NFL running back by any stretch of the imagination right now. But I think given the rest of the running back landscape, he's still, borderline top 5-ish guy for me.
Yeah, I will say I absolutely love the Dak pick. I don't remember the round in which you got him. I could look it up. Not that people have necessarily forgotten, but Dak Prescott through 4 games last year was so far ahead of the all-time passing yardage pace that he really just needed to average about 300 yards per week, and he was going to be right there. He was probably going to do it. I mean, it was just a string of 400 yard games at the beginning of the season, and he was going to be your all time single season yardage leader.
Andy runs year 2 CeeDee Lamb, Blake Jarwin's returning. They have a horrible defense. Oh yeah, I mean, he could just put up so many fantasy points.
I feel like I don't have a ton of like super questionable players on my roster, honestly, because it's pretty loaded. But I want to get your thoughts on James Robinson. Took him as a flex, and I was eyeing a couple of different running backs there. this is just something that I talked to Denny Carter about a couple weeks ago. Like, I feel like when Carlos Hyde signed with Jacksonville, there was this eruption from the fantasy community on social platforms that was basically, this is great news for James Robinson. Carlos Hyde is nothing but a backup here. They're going to use Robinson the same way, blah, blah, blah. And the one thing that sticks with me is that literally every place Carlos Hyde goes, he gets 180 carries. There's never been a, we always say this. We're always like, oh, he's a zombie. He can't do anything. He's, you know, this is great news for the incumbent. And then you look up at the end of the year and Carlos Hyde has like 200 or 210 carries and like 800 yards. And he's always a factor. So how do you, I don't know, how do you view that backfield? Is Hyde, am I too worried about Hyde? Should I be like just all in? New head coach, new staff? I don't know. I have some concerns.
Yeah, Hyde does have injury history, but I'm with you as far as I would be concerned as well. I mean, yeah, he's not great. He hasn't lived up to his draft pedigree, but he's the thing. This is a totally new coaching staff. And James Robinson, while he did impress as a player, make no mistake, he really benefited from like historical usage rate, like historical compared to the rest of the running back usage on that team. And you just simply cannot bank on that being sustainable, especially with a new coaching staff. But they're upgrading their quarterback to Trevor Lawrence, and they could score so much more, and they could be in the red zone so much more, and it could benefit him. It could counter all that. So he's a tricky one. I have him right around like the Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, J.K. Dobbins group. He's a tricky one in a tier like between 15 and 20 on my running backs. I wouldn't fault you for getting him. A lot of good upside, and there's very few feature backs. So I both share your concerns, but don't fault you for grabbing him either.
Boy, you just actually walked through my complete internal monologue when I was making the pick too. It was actually the presence of Trevor Lawrence and the obvious upside to the offense that tipped it in for me. Again, I'm a little bit more concerned about Carlos Hyde as a presence than I think anybody else in the fantasy industry is. But again, and that's just our history with Carlos Hyde is that he always has a role.
Can I say the round you took Taysom Hill, I was absolutely going to take him, and I'm upset because I think you only did it because, was it Kogod took Winston or someone? No, it wasn't. It was someone else took Jameis Winston, which reminded you before he could come back and take, before it was his pick again, you stole Taysom Hill because you're ruthless, Andy Behrens. Doesn't matter if it's round 43 in a League of Leagues draft when everyone's half in the bag on a Saturday night, you're still ruthless.
This is actually the final thing that I wanted to bring up. It was RJ White. And, I'd had Taysom Hill in mind for a while, and it's, you know, what, obviously once you get 40 picks into a three sport draft, everybody's just drafting for need. Like any sort of notion of ADP is out the window. Anybody could go at any round, all that. And I basically punted my hoops draft. So I was still sketching out an NBA roster, and it didn't really matter to me if I was taking NBA players or not. So I was just looking for upside anywhere. So I was thinking about Taysom Hill and wondering who was going to try to do the Jameis Taysom double, which is a separate thing that we can talk about, because I actually think, like, on the surface, that seems like a great idea, but that assumes that one of them is going to win the job and then get like 100% of the snaps, which is probably not going to happen, right? Like, there's going to be some sort of weird tandem, you know, if Jameis is the starter, it's not like you're going to see any less of Taysom than you did last year. Taysom is still going to come on the field for a whole bunch of snaps, and he's going to take a lot of work inside the 10-yard line. And it's going to be really frustrating if you're a Jameis manager. So it's like, it's going to be a problematic situation. But if Taysom wins that job outright, well, then there's no role for Jameis, right? Like then it's probably a one-man show, and it's going to look a lot like it did last year when Taysom was at the controls, and it wasn't necessarily great for all of the skill players in New Orleans, but it was sure great for Taysom, and he was running for a couple of touchdowns a week, and he was maybe throwing for one, and he was exactly that sort of, you know, running, mobile, like bulldozing quarterback that we talked about much earlier, somebody who could finish in the top 10, top 8, top 6 in any given week. So he's an interesting flyer, but I only took him because I assumed that RJ would really want him. And I've spent the last several days trying to make trade offers to RJ for George Kittle.
Of course you have.
Kittle was the one NFL player that I didn't get that I had my eyes on, and I only missed him by like three or four spots, right? So I've been floating trade offers to RJ, and he's been swatting them away with increasing hostility. And I think it's reached the point where I'm kind of spamming him now, so I gotta let it breathe a little bit.
I exaggerated. It was round 47 you did this. And I got to say, I would hold on to Taysom Hill. I like him. I was impressed with what I saw. I don't think Winston is the answer there. I'm drafting Taysom Hill in fantasy football leagues right now, like, if as long as it's not a super flex. After the first, like, 15 quarterbacks, after the Cousins, Ryans, Daniel Jones off the board, I'm taking Taysom Hill right now over your guy, Tua. I think the upside is just really there with the rushing ability. So in one quarterback leagues, he's my favorite flyer, and I'm sure he's probably undrafted in many leagues because of the Winston talk as being the starter. So I like what you did there in the same round. Only the final thing I promise to bring up is I took Damian Williams on your Bears. I was looking for a running back flyer. What are your thoughts on Damian Williams now and what it does to the backfield situation there? Because, you know, it's kind of similar with David Montgomery as far as volume. Also, Tariq Cohen is coming back there too. So what do you do with the Bears backfield?
Yeah, I think it's a big, scary mess, right? And I wrote about this immediately after the season. I think there's basically no chance with a healthy Tariq Cohen of David Montgomery repeating what he did last year. Like, I think that the season that you just got from David Montgomery is probably going to be, unless somewhere down the line the Bears develop an explosive offense and David Montgomery is still a part of it. I think that last year is probably peak David Montgomery, because I just don't, like, they love Tariq Cohen and they love using him as a gadget receiver. And a lot of that receiving workload that Montgomery was given, you know, whether it's 6-7 targets a week down the stretch, that's just going to go away. He's going to go back to being like 2 or 3 in case of emergency targets each week. And all the, you know, all the design passes for the running backs are going to go back to Cohen. I wouldn't think that anybody, I think that Montgomery has done enough that he is the clear lead back, and anybody behind him is just going to be a rotational player, you know, a guy that they bring in 1 out of every 4 series, something like that. I don't think it's going to be a full blown committee, except for the fact that Tariq Cohen is going to have this stubborn, just persistent receiving workload that isn't going to go away. I mean, he's been a 100 target player, and that's probably going to happen again if he's healthy. And that just comes straight from what David Montgomery did last year. So I see almost no path for David Montgomery to finish as a top 10 running back. I just don't think he's, I don't think he's explosive enough. I don't think he's, you know, he's not some wow player. He's kind of just another guy who needs a ton of volume. And I don't think those receptions are going to be there.
Yeah, makes sense. He impressed as a player too, like James Robinson. It wasn't just volume. He was a better real life player than I gave him credit for watching him down the stretch. But yeah, the setup for this year is just not nearly the same. Shout out to Brad Evans and Brandon Funston who are in this draft. And Tevin Coleman went super, super high. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that.
He
was the biggest
eyebrow
raiser of all for me. I even shot you a text. Like, Deebo Samuel and AJ Dillon were going in the same round to give reference of the football players that were going. I mean, I guess he's the Jets back now, but I mean, man, Tevin Coleman, I don't know, that one seemed like a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, that's definitely a team that should be in on one of the big running backs in this draft class too. So I don't think we can assume that's gonna, it's kind of like Mike Davis in Atlanta, right? Yeah. Like, I get it if they pass on running back in the first 3 days of the draft, you know, then we can feel good about Mike Davis, but I kind of feel like they're going to add somebody, and I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to waste a bunch of time spinning, you know, Davis or Coleman when in all likelihood they're going to draft a player who we're going to be much more interested in.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm interested where Javonte Williams goes. My more hot draft takes. Javonte Williams is going to be an awesome NFL running back. But man, it's exciting times, Andy. Justin Fields about ready to take over for the 49ers franchise for the next decade. Man, wow. Super exciting.
I'm just seeing 49ers fans go through all this. It makes me rest easy and feel so secure that my team has locked up its quarterback situation in Andy Dalton. Once you win the Andy Dalton sweepstakes, then you don't have to get involved in trading a bunch of future firsts. Like, you've got that security blanket.
Life works out so perfectly. Andy and Dalton pod. Andy Dalton quarterback for your. You got your franchise quarterback too. I got Niners got a franchise quarterback. You got your own. It's great. Red Rifle. It's awesome.
Exactly. Everybody wins. Again, I'll remind people that if they are in the mood for additional draft talk, you're going to get Liz's rookie snapshot series. It's going to begin Thursday on the pod. Looking forward to that. I believe that she's kicking it off with the running back position. And if you are in the mood for additional podcasts, why wouldn't you be after this one? Check out the Yahoo Sports College pod with Pete Thamel, Dan Wetzel, and Pat Forty. It has been fantastic throughout the tournament. It's always fantastic. Check out the Post It Up with Chris Haynes podcast. That is Earth's Finest Hoops pod. Follow us at Yahoo Fantasy, at Dalton Del Don, at Andy Behrens. Huge thanks to our producer, Raghu. That is it for another week. We are out.